Thank you, Pastor Russ. Always good to hear that voice and your words. We are doing something that is just so Presbyterian. What is it about Presbyterians that seem to always have them standing up in each other's churches doing something or other just because you got a new pastor or something? It's connectionalism coming at us one more time. And a quality of Presbyterianism that I have come to value more and more as I've lived with it. We really are connected to each other, governmentally, spiritually, emotionally. So when you find and bring in a new pastor, he too becomes one of ours. In Presbyterian government, the pastor does not hold membership in the local church. Instead, the presbytery is his or her governing body. So while you searched for Reverend Stephen Hassett and you found him and you chose him, he will serve your church. His membership is in the presbytery. And that's a good thing. You're not his boss. God is. And the presbytery is. Before we got to this point, Reverend Hess and a number of your elders attended our January meeting of presbytery at the Rockford Rescue Mission, about 80 miles southwest of here. And the ministerial committee quizzed him in all kinds of things like various views of baptism and tell us about your family life and your devotional life, and he did well. And then Reverend Howard introduced him to the floor of presbytery, and the presbytery had a go at him with such questions as, please explain to us your understanding of Ordo Salutis and define each theological term to us. And he did. And then the presbytery voted to affirm your selection of Reverend Hess as your pastor, so that he and this church together will serve our Lord and represent Christ in this community, both to those who already are Christ followers and those who are not yet part of his kingdom. That's why they call us evangelicals. So, you've invited the representatives of Provision Lakes Presbytery, your church, and we have the audacity to stand up here and take charge of a section of your worship service. So let me introduce the commissioners, and I'd ask that you would stand and just sort of wave at the congregation when I call your name, and I hope I've gotten you all in the right spot. They changed commissioners since I last got the list. Dana Perriard, who's teaching elder at Grace Point. And we have Russ Howard, whom you've heard from already, teaching elder Rockford Rescue Mission. Teaching elder Isaiah Nordhagen, newly ordained pastor at First Press Aurora. And we also have some friends of Pastor, and their names are Carrie Driesman and his wife, is that it? Got it. Her husband. Got it. You're passing notes up and down this row, and then I forget who wrote which note. Okay. Well, together with you, with this commission, did I miss anybody? We'll install Reverend Stephen Hess to the office of pastor of this congregation. And like the orderly Presbyterians that we are, we'll follow the book of order as outlined in chapters 13 and 14, and that's reproduced in your bulletin. So Reverend Hess, as I understand, has already been ordained an EPC pastor, so you will be taking vows of installation, not ordination, for this current call. And I think with that, we'll proceed to the next step.
Okay. I'm the guy who put the clock on the back wall, so I'll keep it quick. How's that? Okay. My job, actually, here is to actually introduce Pastor Hess to Highview, and I've actually had the opportunity to do it a couple times here now, so I feel like I'm getting used to it. But David Block gave me a list of snippets of letters that he received from Faith Community Church. So, Stephen, you can plug your ears because you're probably going to get a big head from this. But I thought it would be good for our church to hear this, just to get a sense of a church who has experienced Stephen. And the point, I guess, of this, too, is that from the search committee, we really looked for a pastor who was centered on Jesus Christ. We feel that, yes, we loved our pastor. What's his name? But the reason we loved our pastor was because two things. One is our congregation and our pastor both centered Jesus Christ to what it was all about. That's where our love really was centered. So that was something we needed to know with Stephen. And I think this will give you a little bit of an idea. So these are things that David Block gave me from Letters from Faith. Okay, Highview will be blessed by this incredible man of God. He is the gold standard of young pastors. He is gifted beyond his years in his understanding of and his teaching of the Word of God. Beyond that, he's incredibly nice, gracious, and kind to everyone he meets, which he does have a quirky sense of humor, too, by the way. You have to catch it. Don't let his youthful appearance fool you. He's very mature and possesses every quality that a church would be looking for in a senior pastor. Highview is getting an extraordinary couple. Stephen is a great teacher, preacher, shepherd, mentor, and friend. He's mature beyond his years, and God fills him each day with the Holy Spirit until it overflows. I particularly like that. Megan, likewise, is an outstanding teacher you'll come to learn. And Stephen is not only a great pastor, but a leader who has blessed our church in a special way, as I am certain he will bless you. And I think those were wonderful statements, and I think that we need to thank God because he certainly was in charge of our entire search committee and in this whole process of bringing Stephen to us. So praise the Lord for that. And yes, Faith Community Church, you don't get them back. So anyway, that's my part of this role, and it's an introduction to Stephen Hess, and we thank you, Stephen. I just take this personal opportunity to thank you for accepting that call. So thank you.
Well, after those good words, Reverend Stephen, will you come join me? I've got a few questions for you. Pastor Stephen, do you now reaffirm the vows you took upon your ordination, and do you recommit yourself to them in the discharge of your obligations? Will you seek to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all your duties as a Christian and a teaching elder, whether personal or interpersonal, private or public, and to endeavor by the grace of God to adorn the profession of the gospel in your manner of life and to walk with exemplary piety before the congregation of which God is making you overseer?
I will.
Are you now willing to accept the call of Highview Evangelical Presbyterian Church as pastor, and relying upon God for strength, promise to discharge to it the duties required of that office?
I do.
All right, would the congregation stand, please? This is your time to make a vow to Stephen. So as Isaiah charged Stephen, I'm charging you guys. Are you, the members of Highview Evangelical Presbyterian Church, ready to receive the Reverend Stephen T. Hess as your pastor, if so say we do?
We do.
Awesome. All right, next question. Do you promise to submit to Stephen in matters of spiritual discipline and to receive with humility and love the word of truth? If so, great, you got it. Do you promise to support your pastor with your prayers, as Angie said, to give encouragement in his work, and to assist him in every way as he seeks to instruct you in the things of the Lord and to lead you in the building of the kingdom of God in this place? One more. Do you recommit yourselves to fulfill the terms of the call you have extended to make provisions for your pastor's needs, that the name of Christ might be glorified? Nice job.
As stated clerk of Rivers and Lakes Presbytery, by the authority of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church and the Presbytery of Rivers and Lakes, I declare that Reverend Stephen T. Hess has been duly and properly installed as pastor of Highview Evangelical Presbyterian Church, agreeable to the Word of God and the laws of this church. As such, he is entitled to be given support, encouragement, honor, and obedience in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Now, before we extend the hand of fellowship, we want to do the most important thing, which is pray for Pastor Stephen. So, Stephen, if you could kneel, and I'd like to invite the elders and the commissioners to come lay hands on him as we pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, without whom we would not be here. Lord, we praise you that each and every one of us has been called by you, and Lord, that by the blood of your Son, we are saved and in relationship with the God of the universe again. And Lord, we pray especially today, we praise you for the calling you have placed on the life of Pastor Stephen, Lord. We praise you that you touched that hole to his lips, Lord, and he heard that call, and even though he was a man of unclean lips, he said yes, Lord. You gave him the courage to say yes to that call. And Lord, I thank you that you have called him to this church to hide you. Lord, I thank you that you have brought it in their hearts to call him, Lord, that they have seen by your Holy Spirit that he is the man who should take this this role here, Lord, as a teaching elder. And Lord, I pray that you would give him courage. Lord, give him courage as he leads this congregation to remain faithful to the gospel. Lord, that he would have the mind of Jesus Christ in all that he does. Lord, that he would not be about people pleasing, would be about God pleasing, Lord. And Lord, I pray that he would shepherd this congregation. Lord, that he would love them with the love of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that he would reach out and touch those in this congregation who are sick of soul, who are sick of mind, who are sick of body. Lord, and that he would bring the healing touch of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you. We praise you, Lord, and we also pray that that this congregation would care for him well, that they would care for him and his wife Megan well, that they would recognize that this pastor is a gift to them, Lord, and he's a gift from you, and you don't treat your gifts poorly, Lord. So I pray that you would give them great grace and wisdom
And Lord, that they would love him well and support him and listen to him and recognize that they have been called to obey his words when those words are the words of you. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that it is to serve you. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that Stephen has to serve you here at IDEPC, and may he never take that call lightly, Lord. So Lord, fill him day in day in and day out in your Holy Spirit, Lord, that he may do the work that you have called him to. And Lord, may the presbytery also be a great support to him as he journeys forward as the new pastor of IDEPC. We pray these things in the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we do all things. Amen.
Please be seated. For those of you who have not gone through a Presbyterian ordination or installation service, in our neck of the woods, we call this a preach fest because you invite more than one pastor in, and all of us have to get our time, and thus you as the congregation benefit from that joy. But this is an opportunity to be able to give a charge to Stephen, and I'm honored to do that. My name is Nate Driesman. My wife, Carrie, and I are currently serving a church in southern Idaho, First Presbyterian Church in Jerome, Idaho, if you know that community. And we are privileged to be here. We are part of ECO, part of the Presbyterian family, another evangelical extension here, and I am so grateful that Russ and the Presbytery and the EPC, our brothers and sisters, invited me to be a part of this, and what a blessing it is. We arranged a surprise for Stephen and Megan, and so many of you were involved in that surprise, and I thank you for all of your efforts because Stephen was surprised. He just kept talking, but there was no words and thoughts coming together. He kept looking at a menu and going, I can't even read this right now. I'm so shocked. So everything was just perfect, and it was just wonderful to be here. Stephen and I have known each other for what seems like forever, but is actually just shy of 10 years. We met each other when Stephen was in college, and I was serving a church in Washington. And during that time, the senior pastor at that church said, you've got to meet this college student we have, Stephen Hess. He's great. And I thought, well, how great can he be? I mean, is he wonderful? Stephen is truly one of the most brilliant people I have ever met. He really is an old soul who, as a very young college student, found his way into a Presbyterian church that was on the elder side of things and found a home there and became a beloved member, actively participating in the life of the church. So much so that every time he came home, it was like a band would strike up and Stephen is back type of experience. In a short term, he really became so beloved. He was always committed to preaching the word of God, and it made such an impact on everyone. And honestly, I can't think of a better man really than Stephen, someone that I would gladly work for if I had the opportunity. And I mean that sincerely. I've told him that. He always shakes his head, but I'm serious about that. So I think that's as much as your 10 bucks buys, Stephen. I'm not going to say much more than that. That's about it. In truth, I really am so excited for both of you guys. What a gift it is to see your church family. And it was so hard over the last month or so being able to not brag on your church when we were interacting with so many different people who were helping to coordinate our trip and just think, wow, this is a really special place. And I'm truly excited for you. I was thinking a lot about this charge and what I'm supposed to say. There's so many things that we talk about already. I thought, what can I bring that's sort of unique to this? Of course, I need to remind you that you're not God, since you were sort of told maybe you could be God in the sermon by Russ. I want to make sure you're not God. But here's the thing that's really important is it's painfully obvious to you that you're not, and yet it seems like churches sometimes really do expect that of our pastors. We expect you to be omnipresent. We expect you to be in every situation at all times to provide for our needs, and they're usually really important needs, but you can't. And I would expect that you would see that temptation. I would expect that you would want to be there in every single way you could, but I would warn you against that, because in order to continue your amazing, solid marriage with Megan, sometimes you're going to have to say no. And to be a loving and effective father, sometimes you're going to have to say, you know, someone else is going to be there for you today, and I'll be there tomorrow. And to your dear Megan, I want to tell you this. Please help Stephen to remember that he is not God. It's a gift that wives can help their pastor husbands with this. That ministry is always more of like a cross-country race than a sprint, and that you have to find a good pace that works for you and for your congregation. So I wanted to think of three phrases that you could kind of hold on to. They're phrases that I've been thinking a lot about in my own church and how I want to lead, how you can lead the people to go deeper, to live wider, and to always speak the truth. And so this is my charge to you. I encourage you to go deep in your faith, deeper than even you are at with Jesus right now, but to continue to dig deep and go further in your faith in Jesus Christ. I encourage you to go deeper in your marriage with Megan. I encourage you to not just make her a priority, but together to continue to figure out that amazing covenant that you guys made so many years ago that I was a part of, and what a blessing that is, and to continue to find those selfless ways that you can love one another and to go deep even further in your marriage. And that as you continue to figure out parenthood, as you continue to love your amazing son and whatever children may come after this, that you continue to go deep in your ability to love and to parent Silas. Because if you do those things, Christ and marriage and parenthood, then what you're going to be able to have is this amazing foundation to give to these incredible people and all of the people you will be reaching out to from this point on. That the depth of your faith and the depth of your marriage and the depth of your modeling of parenthood with Silas will make an impact on this world and on this congregation. I encourage you to take your church deeper than they even have in their relationship with Jesus Christ. We've all heard it said that the American church is 3,000 miles wide and an inch thick. And that is one of the most horrific sounding things that I've ever heard. And yet, it is so sad of how true it can be. And so I encourage you to take your flock, the flock who have just committed themselves to you and you to them, deeper than they ever could imagine in faith with Jesus. Because they just said that that's what they want. And so I encourage you to do that. I think of Paul's words to the Colossians when he says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way." And I love what Pastor Russ said, because to please the Lord in every way is not a church who is stagnant, but a church who goes deeper, a church with the people who goes deeper. And then I want you to teach these people how to live wider. Because in my opinion, there is really little value to any smart Christians who don't do anything with what they learn. As the pastor of this church, you and Megan have the responsibility to live out this missional call to people. Live wide is a call to action, and I encourage you to live wide, to teach the people how to live wide as possible, to follow Christ's great commission to his people in Acts, to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth proclaiming the gospel. And so I encourage you not to fall into the temptation of allowing yourself to be so insulated by these amazing people within this church that you yourself don't have the opportunity to be salt and light to your neighbors and to your community and to interact with non-Christians. So those people, the lost, are always on your mind and you're always thinking, how can we live wide enough to reach them so that they hear the good news of the gospel? I want to challenge you and to challenge you to tell your flock to live out this calling, but better yet, that you will invite them on the adventure with you, that you will model it for them, that you will build an expectation that every single person here should want to invite people to church and to come to all the different programs and ministries that you are going to be a part of, to tell them about the hope of Jesus Christ, to be encouraging wherever they go, but better yet, teach these people to be the church in their homes and in their workplace so that they don't have to rely on a structure like this building, but rather how they live out their life every single day. Teach them to live wide. Never allow this church to be satisfied with mediocrity or to temper their evangelical zeal or their excitement about the gospel. Do not let their fire dim. Rather, challenge them to live wide out of their comfort zone for the sake of the gospel. As the Apostle Paul continued in Colossians, he said about the church bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, giving joyfully thanks to the Lord, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the holy people in the kingdom of light. Cheer your flock on. Celebrate successes. Learn from failures. And live wide in this community, this state, this country, and to the ends of the earth. And finally, I would say, teach your flock the truth in all circumstances. And I love, Pastor, what you said. This truth is only one. Because we know in Ecclesiastes, everything else is meaningless except one thing, which is to have a growing, thriving, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know that you have any ability in your heart other than to teach truth, Stephen. Stephen is a truth teller. And in fact, I would say he has a gift of truth, that if I could articulate that even more, to be able to say that to you folks, you will not ever, ever doubt where you stand with him. He's loving and kind and gracious in a way that is sort of nauseating at some points. It's so awesome. But it never comes at watering down the gospel. And if anything can be said about that, he will always speak truth. And you can always guess or always know this is gospel. There is something about a gift that God has given to this man, and you will experience it in an amazing way. And so my hope and prayer for you is that you will continue to equip this wonderful congregation who has such a rich, though short history, but a rich history of having the gospel, of making hard decisions from their past in order to proclaim the gospel, that you will continue to help them preach and teach and speak the truth of the gospel, which is the most important thing we can do as pastors. That all people, all of them, will come together and will know and earnestly seek out hearing the gospel here. But then they will leave this place, and wherever they are, all of a sudden, things that they would never say before will start coming because they will learn how to speak the truth and not be embarrassed, not be ashamed, not be afraid, not think of what other people might think of them. They will be so encouraged by their pastor to speak truth that they will become known for it. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, says Paul to the Colossians, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusations. If you continue in your faith established and firm and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed in every creature under heaven. This is the gospel that has to be preached. This is the truth that has to be shared. And I will encourage you to teach these people to speak truth, even when it's difficult, even when it may cost relationships, even when it may not lead to earthly treasures. Speak truth. So, my dear brother and sister in Christ, remember, you are not God. And I'm saying it loudly here because other people need to remember that too. But also remember, teach the people to go deep, to live wide, and to speak truth. Let me pray for you. And I use the words of the Apostle Paul in the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled, Stephen and Megan, to the measure of all the fullness of God. And it's in Jesus Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. Blessings.
Thank you, Nate. The preach-off continues. And my message is fairly simple. My name is Dana Perriard. I'm a teaching elder at Grace Point in Dubuque, and I'm very honored to be here. A fellow Whitworth graduate, went to the same college as your new pastor. And my impression is that you're in really good. You're in a really good situation, both of you. And so it's my obligation to be kind of tough with you now, then. You'll see that all these preach-off sermons that have been prepared independently will be woven together fairly well by the Lord's inspiration. I simply want to tell you to keep your eye on the ball, to keep your focus on Jesus Christ, something that's been said many times this morning. Keep your focus on Christ and your purpose in terms of the personality that you watch and in terms of the way you experience praise and joy. First of all, congregation, the purpose of the church here is not the pastor's ministry to you necessarily, that as far as what you come to this place thinking about. When you come to worship here and when you come to meetings and when you go do your ministry that's in the name of this church, you're not to focus on the purpose of the pastor, but your purpose. And your purpose is to minister to the Lord. Your purpose is to minister to Jesus Christ. Just as in the Old Testament, there were people who were set apart to full-time minister as priests, to minister to the Lord and represent the people, their focus was on God. And when you come, your focus is on ministering to Jesus Christ, just like the woman who wet his feet with her tears and anointed him. That's your focus. And the personality, you got the pastor with a good personality that you'll enjoy, but the personality you want to be focused on is that of Jesus Christ when you come here, so that you're able to do what Jesus asked you to do when he said, whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ is the center of the kingdom of heaven, so keep your eyes on him and let his personality be your focus. Finally, when you're looking for that experience in your faith life and in your life of as a congregation that lights up the happy religious part of your brain, that praise and joy, that element of satisfaction, you want to find that in Christ. You know, it's going to be very easy to find that in your pastor. We could see, but if you come looking for that, you'll lose it. Just like Jesus said, whoever tries to find his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for the kingdom will save it. So if you hope to be fulfilled and satisfied with none other than Jesus, none other than Christ, then you'll find that Christ has given you a wonderful pastoral family to do that with, alongside. But if you focus on all that that family can give you, you'll be selling yourself short and you'll be let down. This is just an illustration of keeping your eye on the ball. That's all this is. My son and I went out to play in this nice weather. Got him off the computer for a few minutes. And I had given him a bat that I got at Goodwill that made him cry because it was so ugly. But it was a good quality aluminum bat. And finally, 6 months later, he got over it and was willing to use it with me. So we went out to the yard, and I was throwing him the baseball and everything. And my only claim to athleticism is fishing. So fishing's a sport. I'm an athlete. So I told him, son, I don't know a lot about baseball. I mean, here it's, what, March Madness, and I'm talking about baseball, so you see where I'm coming from. I don't know a lot about baseball, but I have been told that if you watch the ball right up to the point that you hit it with the bat, you'll hit it a little better. I don't know why he took athletic advice from me, but he actually did this and hit the ball quite well. And so if I were to tell him, son, I know everything about baseball, and I got to tell you, you got to keep your eye on that bat, all right? We would be in looking for the first aid kit right away. So this is all I'm telling you, is to keep your eye on the ball, right? Keep your eye on your Savior. Don't focus on the bat. You know, it's a gift, and I hope you guys hit it out of the park. I hope things go great here. But if you keep your eye on the ball, you'll have much better success than focusing in an inverted way. So may the Lord bless you in that.
I guess it's a charge and benediction. I only, the charge is only about 15, 20 minutes, so. So much has been said this morning, I will say very little. I will just share this scripture with you as we close today, because as I woke up this morning, this was one that the Lord put on my heart. In a letter to the Philippians, Paul wrote this, in 1:27. He said, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened at anything by your opponents." What a great prayer for the church of Jesus Christ, that we would be a church into the future, forever, that was living worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that was standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side together for the sake of the gospel, and never being in fear of anything that might oppose us. I'll leave you with those words, and with also the words from the scripture, which are from Jude, when the scripture said, "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and glory.